Okay, let's move on to
Paul. I was just going to tell you, okay. I will tell you later. I wasn't able to unmute for a minute. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Call in user one with the hand
up.
Would
that be me?
Yes, that's you.
Okay, great. So I'm thrilled to hear about your weekend numbers. I matched some of the weekend programming, not nearly enough. I'm a big fan of Caribbeano, long time going back. I wanted to to let you guys know that the WBI license is being renewed. The FCC license, the application went in January, and your PNB members will tell you more, but what Carol Wolfley has forgotten to mention is that Donald Goldmacher, who's a PNB member from her station and who is part of the, quote, KPFA protectors. There are a number of names that are used in Berkeley, really 1984 kind of stuff, because the names and the actions are incongruous, shall I say. So the KPFA protectors, including many quotes from Sherry Gendelman, who used to be a PNB director and is back now as a staff member of KPFA's LSB. Lots of quotations. They're actually protesting Pacifica's right to renew the WBAI FCC license. I'm sorry, that wasn't mentioned. They filed a formal complaint. The complaint, I think, is about 22 pages, but the attachments are almost 500 pages of quotations, this, that, and the other, going after three different programmers at WBAI. So please, PNB directors of WPFW, when you get to that report, please flesh that out for the folks so they understand that the face that they're seeing is but a strange representation of what Berkeley is truly offering the network. And I say this after years of having many friends in Berkeley. So yes, please do talk about that. Also, I'm thrilled to hear about this grant. It is a way of getting money in the door to get work that's needed, because we do get exhausted as listeners, with the pitch, and it's much worse in New York than it is there. So I think it's great, and I hope that some of what you come up with, can be shared with New York and other stations in the network. I think, four stations are currently without development directors. KPFA is the only station that has a development department. I forget how many people are there. But, you know, work for your station, but please share the ideas, because many things are transferable. I don't want to go over time. Let me know when I'm...
Okay. I think that's about it. Thank you.
Oh, dear. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks. Call-in user one. Any other comments? No other voices to be heard, no other questions to be asked. All right, we will then move into our PNB report, since that seems to be the main topic of interest anyway, what's going on with the network. So, Julie, do you want to take the lead on that?
Sure, I'll get started. So, I mean, one of the things that we'll wind up doing in a closed session yet this evening is talking about some of the information that we talked about in a closed session of the PNB not quite 2 weeks ago related to the finances of Pacifica. So we'll get into that a little bit more there, and can't talk about all of that in open session. The PNB met, the last week Thursday in April, and, the closed session on finances was a big chunk of that meeting. It wasn't the only thing. We picked up some, old business that we had not gotten to in previous, open sessions of the PNB. It is true that there's been a petition to deny the FCC license. So basically all of the stations have each of the stations has its own FCC license. Pacifica is who holds the, you know, technically owns the license for each of those. And they renew something like every 10 years. And a couple of the, I think PFW's renewed about 2 years ago. KPFA's and KPFK's renewed within the last handful of months. When your license renews depends on what state you're in. And so now we're on WBAI, and there has been a petition to deny the license. Pacifica has FCC attorneys that actually happen to be located here in Washington, D.C. And so we have engaged our FCC attorneys to, you know, basically help us with this petition. We have to, the petition was submitted to the FCC, and we have something, I want to say the first week in May, and we have till I think June 1st to respond to the petition. And, you know, basically it's kind of like court briefs, right? And so we of course are working on that. We don't have that done yet. Let's see. Vanessa or Sue or Donna, do you want to add other things that?
This is Vanessa. I'd like to add a little bit. Governance committee and elections committee. I don't remember if this has been done, but I want to make sure that it is done. Volunteering to the.
You're kind of breaking up, Vanessa.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. Let me. Oh, I can't. I'm going to put it closer. I can't take it off. Anyway, can you hear me better? Is that
yes.
better?
Yes.
Okay. Better. All right. Okay. So I just want to make sure to thank Violetta and Diamond both for volunteering to be PFW representatives on the Governance and Elections Committee. Both committees, both persons, both committees. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We were begging and they stepped up and I appreciate them. I just also wanted to add a little bit to what Julie said and what the listener reported about the challenge to WBAI's license. The discussion on the PNB was part of a public discussion. It was not in executive session. So the public has already heard it, but I just want to emphasize a little bit of it in terms of the challenge was made by a PNB director, Goldmacher, who has a fiduciary responsibility to the network. And so it already is going to cost the network another $50,000 to $75,000 potentially to defend against that. So the same New Day people who like to give themselves other types of pseudonyms, but the same group. And it also not only would hurt BAI to lose their license, it would hurt the entire network. It would damage, we're a system, we're a family of stations. It would hurt everyone, almost existentially, for something like that to happen. So the fact that Goldmacher thought this was a reasonable thing to do without having taken any internal measures. He didn't mention this to the board, his fellow directors, not to management, whatever these alleged concerns that he has about PAI, nothing. Just went straight to the FCC with 500 pages worth of whatever that now has to be defended against. So I appreciate the listener for raising that as an issue. It's egregious, egregious, egregious. And so there'll be more to come on that. And that's it.
I did want to add one more little bit. The last 2 years there were petition bylaw referendum votes, right? The most recent one was sponsored by the group called New Day. The one before that was not New Day, but it wasn't dissimilar. And I think it came from roughly a similar point of view. And there's maybe some, you know, overlap or a tremendous amount of overlap in the set of people who supported the two bylaws referendum. Anyway, there's a lawsuit around the most recent New Day or the most recent bylaws amendment. And one of the things that our Pacifica Legal Counsel decided to do was to help end the lawsuit because we have our legal counsel is actually relatively cheap. Our FCC lawyers, for example, cost us a lot more. They cost, you know, something like $650 an hour. Boy, did I go into the wrong line of business, right? No, I would not be happy being an FCC attorney, let's be frank. And Arthur, our legal counsel, doesn't charge that much. He's on a retainer that is something like $5,000 for 20 hours in the course of every month. Anyway, in many months we don't expend, you know, much more than our retainer amount. But anyway, Arthur came up with the notion of settling the lawsuit with the New Day folks over the most recent bylaws referendum, and it would also settle the lawsuit over or the similar part of the lawsuit related to the LSB delegate elections at KPFK. And the idea there is because most of the litigation has had to do with procedural issues, right? Not the actual merits of the arguments, but procedural things, and they keep getting appealed. And so, at any rate, that what we would do is we would stipulate to a propose the settlement to the litigants, that we would stipulate to a set of facts and then ask the judge to, you know, directly rule on three specific questions. I don't remember them exactly off the top of my head, but anyways, one of the things that we're hoping is that because they have agreed to this settlement, now we're in this kind of stipulation of facts phase, and that if we can stipulate to the facts, and that doesn't take too much longer, that we might get some resolution to one of the lawsuits that's out there, you know, and that's just some good news from the standpoint that, you know, that helps keep the litigation costs down, which after all are some of the kinds of things that our central service, our PFW's central service payments to the Pacifica National Office, it pays for, you know, things like attorney's fees to help cover things that, you know, really are the overhead of the entire network. So I just wanted to share that with people too.
Thanks, Julie. I want to make a quick interjection here that, Vanessa, you're acknowledging folks who stepped up to join the PNB committees. It's Violetta Diamond and Minerva Sanders, yes. The two who volunteered. So thank you to both of them. Julie, I have a question about the elections. The notion of having the funds to pay for the LSB elections this year. Somebody mentioned that there may be a special on-air fundraiser. Can you shed any light on that? Are we moving forward? Is that on hold for now?
Yes and no. What we did was we asked the PNB Elections Committee to come up with a timeline for how we could hold elections this year that would also include that fundraising and kind of decision making, you know, around like, when do you hire the election supervisor who's generally speaking a consultant to Pacifica? You know, when do you decide that you have enough money to pull that off, et cetera? And so there may be some requests to, you know, I know the stations kind of hate to have their airwaves taken over for, you know, a day here or whatever. But it may be the case that there will be, you know, something like a, you know, one day, Carol mentioned this in the community comments section, but like a one day fundraiser that would go to, you know, help raise the funds to pay for you know, basically the fees, it costs us about $100,000 to run an election, even though many, many people vote electronically. It's still an awful lot of work across the entire network. And, you know, some people get mail ballots and that's why it, you know, kind of amounts to that sum of money. And you also have to pay, firms like, I think we used the vendor Simply Voting last year that does the actual emailing of ballots to people and, you know, making sure that the ballots are right and that the right ballot goes to each person in terms of, you know, what station you're at. So, you know, there's a fair bit of work behind that kind of thing. So it does cost money. And so now hopefully they're going to come up with a timeline that'll work and that we can pull off elections this year. And if we can't pull off elections this year, that, you know, the PMB will have to come up with some other approach, which, you know, to be honest, has happened before in the past, right? This is not the first time we've, you know, had financial difficulty. So, you know, we'll figure something out. But, you know, the solution there is basically, in effect, we only hold elections 2 out of every 3 years. And so we had an election last year. We're supposed to have a LSP election this year, but it could be that what we wind up doing is, you know, swapping the, this year for next year in terms of, when we hold elections, but that's a TBD.
Okay. Thank you. And one of the reasons that, that I'm especially concerned is that, I guess because of the way things have fallen over the last couple of years, in our case, instead of, it's not a third, but it's half of the board is terming out at the end of this year. And so, you know, if they're not going to be elections, we'll have to make some decisions about, you know, can terms be extended? Will people be interested in extending their terms? And those, you know, we'll have to make those decisions, probably before the fall.
And something would come from the PMB on that, Dennis.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you. Any other PNB related questions or comments? Okay. Thank you, folks. Moving on. Next agenda item is the evaluation committee. I've been meeting with, Kamau and Vanessa and Kathleen. We sent in a written report. I'll give a quick recap, and if anyone has anything to add, please jump in. We have pretty much completed the template for evaluation form for the general manager. We should be finishing up the same for the program director at our next meeting next week. Both forms have passed muster with HR at Pacifica. Thanks for that intro, Julie. So we submitted both of those and they have been approved. As soon as that is done, we're starting to work on the sort of what is the mechanism going to be for distribution and completion of the evaluations. We want to cast a fairly wide net. Our thinking is that we will ask, paid staff, to evaluate both positions, programmers, our suggestion is that we will, ask programmers who have been, on board for at least 3 years, to participate in the evaluation. We will invite all LSB members, as well as members of LSB, committees to participate. We want to sort of cover as much as possible because we know that, you know, not everybody will be able to address every aspect of the job performance of each person. So we want to try and get as much input as possible. And then we're going to figure out how to collate and shape all of that into a final evaluation. that will
Dennis,
be.
Dennis, I'm sorry to interrupt. You wanted to mention the CAB members also.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. And I'm going to say more about the CAB a little bit later, but yeah, we're going to include CAB members as community advisory board members as people who will be, we will ask to complete the forms. Did I leave out anything, and does anybody have any questions? Yeah, come on.
Now, I didn't want to add. I was going to say spot on. I think that covers exactly okay. What we went through. Yep.
Okay. And we're moving right along. So, hopefully we will, we'll get all of this, out and, and we will go live with these evaluations, certainly by summer. Because it's going to be summer in a minute, but we're on track. So we're going to get this done this year. So thank you for your patience and cooperation.
May I speak for a minute, Dennis?
Yes, you may.
Yes. So I just wanted to appreciate Dennis for his leadership on this committee. And we have been working very hard, but he set up an important task, which was to get moving on these evaluations that are required under the bylaws and that haven't been done in many years. So I just wanted to appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're moving right along. The next thing on the agenda was unfinished business. The one piece of unfinished business I have is now finished, which was the development committee. Does anyone have anything else that was carried over? I didn't have anything in my notes that was carried over from a prior meeting, but does anyone have anything that you're aware of? I've seen email about the documents, whatever we're calling that. Eileen, what's the status of that?
Documents library. Sarah's been working on this too, and we've been coordinating with Vinny. I had a discussion with Jerry on some of the issues, and I think we're still kind of going around circles a bit, trying to figure out where we can house these assorted documents and how we would get to them. Maybe from the website, links on the website. So we're still kind of going around circles on that. I'm still not clear where we can house them. So is Jerry still on the call?
Is Google Drive still an active option, or is that?
Yes, it is.
Google Drive for some reason.
It is. But
I'm still on the call, and yes, okay. We're still researching it.
Help me with that, Jerry, because I'm still trying to understand if that's the best or if we have room on one of our servers or where's the website, the contents of the website, where is that housed? Do we want to put it, with that stuff? I feel like I can't
put the staff and put the staff and myself to task with this issue for the rest of the week. We think we're close to an answer. I've been talking with Vinny about it. We need to keep it simplified. It might just be Google Drive. So we're having discussions about it. We'll come to a conclusion in the next couple of days.
Okay, great. Sarah, did you want to comment as well?
Well, I don't really have a lot to offer except that I set up a typical front-end users and the requirements that would look like. And it's just somebody walking into the system looking for a document. And what would that person look like? And it was we kind of kept it within the committee. So I didn't send it to you, Dennis, but because, again, it's like everything else, it's a draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to make sure that just a common person that's not super – computer illiterate or savvy, could come to this device, like somebody sitting in one of our LSB meetings and a topic gets raised and, well, the bylaws say this and we should be almost instantaneously able to pull up the bylaws, or my comment in my email that's on log is where I said this and no, you didn't. And but yes, I did, and pull up the email and that sort of thing. So I boxed that out in a drawing. And so I asked everybody involved in, or at least Vinny and Eileen, to just follow that to its natural conclusion. And if they see a problem with it, change it. But I think there should be some sort of front-end view as to what the user sees, as opposed to what little boxes we have available in our arsenal, as opposed, you know, and forget about the user. I want the user to be able to access this, and I'd like to see it more user-centric.
Okay, thank you. Was there any other unfinished business? Does anyone have any new business to bring before the body?
This is Ellen. Could I ask something?
Oh, yeah, yes, okay. That's right. We did have a question. Yeah, go ahead, Ellen. Thank you.
Yes, okay. The chairs of the different advisory committees, finance, program, community outreach, and the evaluation committee, if you could send me the names of the individuals who are on the committee, a list, because I know some of the individuals may not be LSB members. So I need a complete list from you, please, so I can send it to Vinny. He needs it so everybody can get credit for being on the committee, please. And then also I want to let you know on the PNB committee, and I want to make sure everybody knows these are two different committees, the LSB committee advisory, and that's just for LSB members, and members of WPFW can be involved on that. Community members can be involved on that. The PNB is only for delegates, and there is one more seat available on the PNB committee for on the programming committee, if someone is interested in being on that. The only person on the programming committee of the WPFW LSB PNB committee is Adele Stan. And actually, I'll go through and tell you who's on what. The audit committee now is Eileen and Sarah Brown, so that's taken care of. Governance committee is Violetta Diamond. Pardon me?
And Donna Grimes.
I'm on the audit committee too, Ellen.
Right, but you're a director. I'm talking about the delegate.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. Non-director. Okay, thank you. Eileen Rosen and Sarah Brown are on the audit committee. On governments is Violetta and Minerva. On elections committee is Violetta and Diamond. Violetta Diamond and Minerva Sanders. So those committees are taken care of. Now there's also three LSB members can be on the committee of inclusion if you're interested. Three LSB delegates, not directors, that I'm referring to. And then if you go back to the list that I sent to everyone, I think I sent it twice, telling you about the different committees. And the task force committees you can get involved in also. Now, someone asked me about the finance committee, and that's only for the finance committee is only for the treasurer and directors. So delegates, actually, other than an officer, treasurer can be on that. Okay, so if the chairs, back to the LSB advisory committees, please, please send me a list of the individuals that are on that committee on a regular basis. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellen. And thanks for reminding me. I almost forgot.
Dennis, may I add something?
Yes.
So people asked about joining the finance committee, the National Finance Committee. I just want to make clear that delegates can't technically be members of the committee, but you can listen to the committee meetings. The finance committee meets, I think, every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 8:30 p.m. It's always there's a phone call that you can, and you can stream it. If you go, you know, you can listen to it online. You can't talk, but you can hear what's going on. And, the way to find out about all the national committee meetings is to go to the website kpftx.org, and it announces the meetings and it has a link to how you can listen to those meetings and it tells you when they are. So, you know, so if people are interested in joining the finance, you know, what you might want to do is, at least listen to a couple of meetings and then decide whether you want to be a director in the future or be the treasurer.
Ooh. Okay. Thanks, Julie. Okay, if there's nothing else at the moment, a brief chair's report. There's one item that I want to discuss, and that's the Community Advisory Board. That is an entity, I don't know how familiar you all are with that, but you will be soon. Bear with me for a moment. I think we may be, well, all of the, I believe all of the four other Pacifica stations have operative community advisory boards. We do too, although it's been kind of operating at a low visibility, and they're about to revive it a little bit. In general, there's two things. One is the community advisory board is a requirement for receiving CPB funds, Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's something that that Sarah was mentioning earlier. So if we're ever going to get that money again, we all need to have a functioning CAB. But beyond that, as a community radio station, that kind of advisory board is just a really good idea. It's something good for us to have. The CPB requirements are that it is either an elected or appointed board, that is, reflective of the communities, served by the radio station, and that it meets regularly, and that it should have, access to, the station's programming plan, that the station should have a written programming plan that the CAB would review and give input on. The CAB would also be able to give input on any significant policy decisions made by the station. The committee's review is advisory only. It's actually advisory to the governing board of the radio station, and that's actually the PNB. Their job would be to monitor these things and advise, the PNB actually on, whether or not the station is fulfilling its mission, to the communities that it serves. Hopefully we would, at least, get to share in that advice, to hear that advice as well. In my experience, the CAB and LSB have not worked as closely together as I think we should. I don't know what the separation has been, but we're working to resolve that. To that end, Eileen has been in touch with the current CAB leadership. They declined to come to this meeting this evening, but they are working on a presentation actually that they want to prepare for the LSB, an orientation on what the Community Advisory Board is and isn't, and an update on the board. I understand they are in the process of trying to I don't know if they're going to turn over their membership completely, but certainly to generate some new membership. one of the things I'm interested in is finding out how we might be able to help with that process. You know, we've got either through on-air stuff, announcements, and even through the LSB show, if there's some ways that we can help to publicize whatever it is that they're trying to do in terms of recruiting members and creating new awareness for the CAB, I would like for us to be able to help with that. In any case, the bottom line is they have suggested some dates in later this month and in June for that orientation for the board. I have asked Eileen after this meeting to prepare a doodle poll to send out to all of us to try and identify a good time when a critical mass of us would be willing to devote an hour, which I urge everyone to do, depending on your schedules, to pick a time that works for you, to devote a time to listening to and talking with the community advisory board so that we can begin to sort of repair that partnership and help them be in a position to do the things that they need to do in service to the radio station. So that's what's going on with that. Any questions or comments? I see Marty, did you have something that you wanted to say?
No, sorry.
Okay. Okay. Did I explain that well enough, Eileen? As far as you understand?
Yeah, I think that was a very good brief explanation.
Okay.
Yeah, we wanted them to come on for like, you know, 5 minutes on our agenda. And they said, well, you know, 5 minutes isn't enough for us. So that's partly why they aren't here tonight.
Yeah.
But
yep. You know. But I think it's worth an hour of our time to hear what's going on there, because I think it's important. Yes, Sarah.
Yeah, they are critiquing us as a radio station. Isn't that their function? Is to say mm-hmm. what we do with respect to the community. If I got that right.
Basically, yeah.
So we're trying to make time for them so that we can establish a closer relationship with them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what their, I can't speak for them in terms of all of their motivations, but you know, I haven't, since I've been involved with the LSB, I know very little about the Community Advisory Board. I think that's an important resource for the station. It's something that should be viable and vital, I believe. And you know, we haven't had any real contact with them. I don't really understand what they're working on, you know, what they see their role as, and I think that this kind of information exchange would be useful in getting us to that place.
So it would help very much for us prior to talking to them to know what their boundaries and rules are, operational things. So maybe we can guide them a little bit favor by knowing and talking to them, and maybe having a dialogue that's constructive on both ends, because maybe we can see where they're coming from in a way that's pejorative to us and we want to correct. On the other hand, maybe there are things that we can add to them to clarify what our mission is, because our mission is very complicated, you know, when you think about it. And it's hard for some people to see, you know, that we're just kind of a above board free voice for a lot of different interests. And that's something very unusual in a democracy, actually, which is strange, but okay, thank you.
Yeah, I tend to agree, but I think that, you know, the first half of that in terms of, I think that meeting is going to be the first part of what you're saying, is to get an idea of what their perspective is. I mean, to get that, I don't think we would get that in any effective form from them before the meeting, because that's why they want to have the meeting, to tell us what they're doing. Kathleen and then Eileen.
I just was going to say I like this because hopefully relatively soon we might be in a position to get CBB money. Thank you.
That would be excellent. Yes. Eileen.
Yeah, I was going to say we can go on the CPB website, and I'm sure there's a page about the community advisory boards that would explain to us what they are and what they're supposed to be. I'll try to find that page and put it in the chat.
Okay, thank you.
You can find it. Thanks. Oh, look, somebody already did that. Thank you, Julie.
Well, okay. It's like you're my setup person, Eileen.
Oh, good. Introducing Julie Hewitt.
There you go.
There's a link in the chat right now if you want to pull that up and bookmark that and read everything you wanted to know about Community Advisory Board. Julie.
Yeah, all I was going to add was, you know, we need to have a Community Advisory Board to be eligible for CPB funding. I think one of the things that, you know, I'm not totally steeped in all the details, but, you know, one of the things is that, you know, we're not trying to guide what the Community Advisory Board does, right? They have a mission, and that's kind of why I was thinking, oh, everybody should see that link, right? And so they just get to tell us what they think. Like, are we meeting the needs of the communities that we're serving? And then I think the other thing is, you know, are we missing communities? You know, and so, you know, it's probably, well, maybe it's just because we're a Pacifica station that, you know, we have the variety of programming that we have, you know, on our airwaves right now. But, you know, if a community advisory board would say you're not meeting the needs of youth very well, you know, then that would be something that we would take under advisement. But I think it's one of the requirements for, you know, to get CPB funding, and it's meant to be kind of like an arm's length thing that, you know, we don't pick who gets on the CAB, right? It's, we want, you know, kind of unvarnished truth. And then, you know, we have to figure out how we're gonna, you know, as they give the station feedback, how we're gonna, you know, how best to comply with that feedback and give, you know, station management, you know, kind of the backbone and support to say, you know, these are some really important things and we need to find a way to improve in these particular areas, right? It's not, you know, we're not looking for, you know, kind of like, an evaluation process where they just say, you're doing great, as if it's a mutual admiration society.
Right.
That's not what we're interested in. So anyway, that's my spiel.
Right. And I think our job, with the LSB would be to, as you were suggesting, Julie, to, assist management in complying, addressing, any areas, that are found to be lacking. Okay. The last thing on my agenda is the, to go over the action items. This is what I have, in no particular order, to review, keep working on the document library, check in with Katia about pitch partners, ask the, finance committee about rolling over the, sort of the startup funds, whatever's available for community activities,
development committee meeting.
Yep. Hold on. Having all of the committee chairs, send Ellen your roster. The development committee, I assume is just going to, you'll be on the agenda for, you will meet and be on the agenda for the next meeting. But one of the things that, I'm hoping will happen in the interim is that, something about the scope of work for the development initiative, will be ready before the next meeting. And then
Jeff,
yes.
Everyone has it. I just sent it out about 20 minutes ago.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So we'll wait to hear more from the development committee next meeting. Those are the action items that I have, and we're going to get to be on the lookout for the doodle poll about the meeting with the community advisory board. Was there anything else, that needed to be taken care of between now and the next meeting? Eileen, is that a hand from before?
Okay. Yes, from before. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Chair, can I speak, please?
Yes.
Okay. Can we make sure that the scope of work for the development committee goes to Ellen and it gets formally forwarded out? Cause I don't see it here anywhere.
Okay.
All right. So, that we officially get it out.
Okay. I don't really understand the question. All right. But all right. That's all right.
We'll take care of it. We'll make sure everybody gets it.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. That's all we've got, but we do have, luckily we're a little bit early because we have an executive session coming up. There's some financial matters dealing with Pacifica Network that we need to deal with, in a executive meeting, not a public meeting. Once we adjourn, we will take a 5-minute break and then log back into the same number, and we will have our executive session. Would anyone like to adjourn?
Wait. I have one little announcement.
Oh, May okay.
I forgot to mention that, we've had trouble getting our audio recordings of these meetings posted up on KPFTX. Yes. I have got all of the missing ones in my possession except for, I think, March, this, 2 months ago. So if you want access, I didn't realize I had all of them, but I have them on an external hard drive, so I was happy to see that. If you want access to any given month's recording that is not up on KPFTX, please ask me for it. From last year and this year.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Now, is somebody about to make a motion?
A motion to adjourn the meeting temporarily until we come back in executive session.
Second.
Okay. Any opposed? No, I don't think so. Okay. I will see you all in 5 minutes. Thanks very much.